I would like to concentrate this morning on God, our giving Father. Now, we know we have so much in the Word that talks about God is good, that He loves us, that He is a giving God. His hands are always open and coming toward us. He's seeking to give things to us. And so often the flesh tells us that, no, He's a taking God. And we'll think of something that He took away from us. Believe me, if He took something away from you, it's for your own good. Or when you're feeling like, no, it's not for my good, that hurt. And yet, in the overall picture, in the big picture, it's for the good of you. It's for good of other people. It's for the good of His kingdom. Because He is a giving God, not a taking God. He doesn't specialize in taking. He specializes in giving. He takes when it's something that we need for us to grow and develop, and develop in our faith and our trust and our understanding. Then it may feel like giving, like taking. But our God is a giving God, a giving Father. I would like to look at Psalms 118. One through five. This psalm is called Thanksgiving for Victory. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. Get that forever word? Let Israel say, His faithful love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His faithful love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His faithful love endures forever. I called to the Lord in my distress. The Lord answered me and put me in a spacious place. He put me in a spacious place. A place, think about that word. He put me in a spacious place. God is not one who wants to hold you so tight you can't move, so hold you so tight and so rigid. No, He's a very spacious, giving God. He wants us to exercise our faith. He wants us to be able to move. He wants us to be able to worship Him in a thousand different ways. And there are so many ways to worship Him and honor Him. That's what He wants. He wants us to be in a spacious place. He's giving. He's a giving God. He's giving to us a spacious place. He gives us His love, His goodness, and His ear. His ear. You know, sometimes you are talking to people and it's like they're not really listening, because if you watch their eyes are somewhere else. They're bouncing around everywhere else. They're not concentrating on what you're saying. And you want to say, do I have your ear or not? Are you listening to me? And their eyes are all over the place. I try not to be like that. Sometimes it's hard. But we need to be like God, who gives His ear. He always listens. He's listening. He's a listening God. And that's one thing that He gives us. We can talk to Him and we can know that He is listening. He's not all over the place. You know, when we're one-on-one with God, we get the whole God. We get the whole Father. He's there. He's listening to us. We can tell Him whatever's on our hearts and minds and know that we have 100% of His attention. But it's so cool because the person over here and the person over here doing the same thing. And they got 100% of God. God cannot be divided. So someone over here can be having 100% of God's ear, and I can have it too. And someone over here can, because he listens to us. I called to the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me, King David, and put me in a spacious place. Because when we get God's ear, we don't just get his ear. He also likes and enjoys having a conversation with us. He loves that. Because, wait, we're his adopted children. So why wouldn't he want a conversation with his child? So consider yourselves, when you're going to God with whatever's on your heart, he's a giving God. He's going to give his ear, and he's going to give his word to you. One thing, as I look through the Psalms, so many of the Psalms, when they talk about God's character, when David and the other psalmists talk about God's character, they also are continually praising him, right? Mixed in with the verses that talk about who God is and what he does, there's praise, there's exaltation, they're lifting God up, they're honoring him, they're talking good about their Father. When we honor and praise him, he can't help. He can't help but be who he is. God's going to be who he is. And when we honor and praise him, that brings it out in a powerful, powerful way. If someone would ask me for a description of God, what's God like? Now, all of us have a mental picture of what God's like. He's a majestic being sitting on a throne. He's a father who walks with us and talks with us. There's so many descriptions of God. And if someone would ask me, what is God like? And one thing I would say, one of the first things I would say is he's a freely giving God of love. Freely giving God of love. And he longs to see his children satisfied. What does satisfaction feel like? It's very important that we as his children feel satisfied. Now, the songwriter writes, comes to my mind just now is that we have enough from God. We have enough, yet not too much to long for more. Yes, we want to feel satisfied in our relationship with God. We want to feel that, but we also want to have a longing for more. God, I need more of you. It's not enough, because in some areas I'm still held back. In some areas I'm not reaching my full potential that you have for me as one of your children. And at the same time, we can say, I have enough, but I have a longing for more. He longs to satisfy us. He wants us to feel content, and he wants us to feel secure. And that's one thing we get from Father God, is a sense of security, our identity. I'm his child. And I don't need to walk around with my head down because of whatever's happened in my past or whatever's happened to me or whatever. I don't need to walk around with my head down because I'm his child. I'm satisfied to be his child. And yet at the same time, you're longing for more of him, more time with Daddy, more time with my Heavenly Father. And we always need to be, God, I know you're a giving God. Give me something special today. Give me a word for someone. Or give me just a deep sense of that warm relationship with you. Because this world is a cold place. I don't know if you guys ever noticed it, but this world can be a rude, cold place. And we want to feel that warmth and satisfaction from just being with God. For our anniversary, Darice and I went on a little cruise down the river over in Maryland, Chester River, a little cruise on a little tiny cruise ship. And I said, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be so much fun to cruise up that river and see all the wonders and get the history of a commentary on the history of the river and the places along the river as we go along. And I was a little disappointed because almost everyone on that cruise ship was drunk. They were just glassy-eyed drunk. I'm like, what the world? And we just, sometimes we just nudge each other and look at that one. Oh, wow. Just talking and bragging and loud, and weren't thinking at all about, you know, the other passengers. Just, I'm loud and I'm obnoxious and I'm drunk. And not all of them were like that, but there were enough of them that just kind of ruined it for us. And so we just kind of concentrated on the commentary about the different mansions along the history and the story of the river and all that. But I'm like, this world is a rude place. It can be a cold, rude place where people think about themselves before they think about anybody else. And this world can be a very tough place. And yet, we have a giving Father who we can withdraw from the world in a sense. Of course, he calls us into the world to minister to people. Don't get me wrong. We don't want to come totally withdraw from the world. He calls us into the world to minister to people, to draw them to this loving Father who holds us and cares for us and makes us feel satisfied and special in our relationship with him. And yet at the same time, sometimes we can just back out of that and just spend that one-on-one time with our Heavenly Father. Psalms 63:1-8. I would like to read that. This is a psalm of David. Here's his thoughts. The psalms are very emotionally based. They're the people of God just pouring out their emotions and feelings and putting them on paper. God, you are my God. I eagerly seek you. I thirst for you and my body faints for you. In a land that is dry and desolate and without water. So I gaze on you in the sanctuary to see your strength and your glory. My lips will glorify you because your faithful love is better than life. So I will praise you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. You satisfy me as with rich food. my mouth with praise with joyful lips. When on my bed, I think of you. I meditate on you during the night watches. Because you are my help, I will rejoice in the shadow of your wings. I follow close to you. Your right hand holds me up. Your right hand holds on to me. Do you get what King David is saying? When on my bed I think of you, I meditate on you through the night watches. You are my God. I eagerly seek you. I thirst for you. My body faints for you in a land that is dry and desolate. I gaze on you in the sanctuary. My lips will glorify you. You satisfy me as with rich food. So, you satisfy me as with rich food. That includes spare ribs. I'm looking forward to spare ribs this afternoon. That should be very satisfying to my tummy. Wait, I got enough of that. But it says God should satisfy us just like a good meal satisfies our flesh and our appetite. And it says, God, you are my help. Again, he's a giving father. He's offering his help to us. He lends a hand. Don't we all love people who are always ready and willing to lend a hand? All you need to do is say something that you have a need. I'll help you with that. And we could all become more like that. But I really admire people that have that gift of helps, of helping people. Just instinctive. When there's a need, they're there. Boom, they're right there. They're going to help. He lends a hand. So when you think, we know what people who lend a hand are like, but what is a Father God who lends a hand? What is he like? What does lending a hand look like when we think about God being the one lending a hand? How about when you have a tough decision to make? You got a really tough decision. And it's like a fork in the road. You go this way, and you can't go back. You go this way, and you've gone this way, you can't go back. Major life decisions. What does his lending hand look like at that point? God is who he is. He will minister to our spirits. He will speak to us. Because the word says again and again, I am here and I am not silent. So when we have major life decisions, let God in on the deal. Let God the Father, the giving Father, who's always ready to lend a hand. We need a hand in making this decision. Because so often our minds are split two ways when it comes to major decisions. And God wants to, he will. Not that he wants to, he will. If we ask him and get with him and let him in on making this decision. Psalms 32:8, he said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you, you who are willing to learn, with my eye upon you the entire time. That's from the Amplified Version of the Bible. I will instruct you and teach you. I'll help you with that decision. You don't have to make it on your own. I will counsel you. Especially those of you who are willing to learn and willing to listen to them. That's from the Amplified, that's a kind of a shadow in the words, counsel you. A shadow in the words, it has the insinuation of those who are willing to listen, to learn. And I'll have my eye upon you the whole time you're making this decision or choosing which way you're going to go in life. So he does assist us in tough decisions. In kingdom work, God lends a helping hand. He gives us insight into people's lives, things only he knows. And those of you who are interested in the field of counseling, working with people one-on-one, working through issues, working through life decisions, working through, God does use us, many of us, and he's used Reese and I very, very effectively in that work. And he does give us insight into people's lives. He gives us a helping hand. If he wouldn't give us a helping hand, I'd quit counseling tomorrow. But he does give us insight into people's lives. And he does give us insight into the Word in ways that we would have never thought of until the giving Father gets involved and gives us the insight through the Holy Spirit. Things only he knows, and he shares it with us. Now, if you're really bold, if we dare ask him, he will also tell us things about ourselves that we don't know. Try it sometime. Father God, you're a giving Father. You want to lend a hand to me. Tell me the things about my life that I don't even know. Tell me about the areas of weakness that I'm not even aware of. Or if I'm aware of them, I don't know what to do about them. So if we dare, he will also tell us things about ourselves. He'll lend a hand to us. Because when we learn things about ourselves and go to him for help in changing the things about ourselves that we don't like or that are lacking, totally lacking in our lives, he will help us. He'll lend us a helping hand. Like David said, he is my helper. He will lend me a hand. Think about that Gideon fellow. He was called, God wanted to use him to lead the children of Israel to freedom. He wanted to use them to freedom from the Midianites. And Gideon was one of those fellows, like a lot of us, a little bit scared, a little bit shy, a little bit lacking in confidence, a little bit fearful, all that. He was down in the wine press where they pressed the grapes with their feet, down in there, walking around. Where's the Midianites? Down in the hole. Where's the Midianites? God lent him a helping hand by telling him something about himself that he didn't know. That you mighty man of God, you're a mighty man of valor. And Gideon's like, what? He's like, what? How would many of you feel if God talked to you about yourself and said, you're a mighty person of valor. You're a mighty person who I want to use. How many steps back would you take? Like, who, me? And Gideon actually, was very much like that. He took a few steps back and said, I got to have more confirmations that you're going to use me to lead these people to freedom. And he did the fleeces and everything else. But God lent him a hand, told him about himself. In that situation, it was something powerful and good in him that he didn't know about yet. Other times, he sometimes tells us negative things about ourselves that we need to fix and work on. But it also tells us good things about ourselves because we are his children. And he'll tell us the things that we need to know. Okay, I'd like to move to Lamentations chapter 3. Verses 22 to 26. Okay, the Lamentations of Jeremiah. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish. For his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will put my hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for deliverance from the Lord. Ever experienced that? You know God's going to deliver you at some point. You know he's going to answer your prayer because he's a giving, loving, caring God. That's who he is. That's his character. And you know it, but you hate waiting. You just hate waiting. It's not a pleasant experience to wait for God sometimes. But he says, it's good to wait quietly. Just keep your mouth shut and just wait. It's good to wait quietly for deliverance from the Lord because he is going to lend a hand. That's in his character. But I was looking at this particular passage and a word just struck me. He is my portion. What does it mean? He is my portion. Verse 24, I say, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will put my hope in him. And I went to a lot of different translations. I want to know what that word portion is. He's my portion. I want to know what that is. And all the translations I went to, they all said portion, portion, portion. Finally, I went to the Message. Let's see what The Message has to say, a translation called The Message. And it gave the idea of all I have left. So you know sometimes when things are really, really tough, things are really, really down, and you're depressed, and things just seem totally out of your control, and you're just bombed. You're basically just bombed. And all you have left is your hope in God. That's all that's left. That's how you're feeling. In fact, Lamentations in the verses before this, that's exactly how Jeremiah was feeling. There's nothing left. I'm the last one. I'm the only one. I'm depressed. All I have left. So if we'll put that theme into this verse. I say, God, you are all I have left. Therefore, I will put my hope in you. So anyhow, that satisfied my curiosity about what it means, you are my portion. So when the tough times come, and they do in life, remember we have a giving Father, a loving Father. He's willing to lend a hand. He's willing to speak, lend us his ear. He'd do all that for us because we're his children. And he's also our portion when things are really bombed out. And I don't know which way to turn. Do I turn back and just forget the whole thing? Or I just fall down and cry? Or I just throw a fit? God, you're just not doing what I need you to do. You're just, something's just not going here. Then we remember, he's my portion. He's all I got left. So I need to listen to him. I need to listen for him. I need to speak to him. I need to listen for him. And then I need to wait for him. And he will respond because that's who he is. That's who he is. Your portion. All you have left. And maybe there's some people here this morning feeling like that. God, you're all I have left. I'm undone. That's it. Just hold on to that. You're all I have left. Therefore, I have hope. And that occurs so many times for so many people. When we face addictions or strongholds in our lives, that we can't whoop them. And even all the people around us helping us, we can't whoop them. We can't get over these addictions, strongholds of the enemy. That's when we cry out to God, you're my portion, you're all I have left. And he'll lend us his ear, because that's who he is. He will lend us. And then we have to practice the gift of patience. That's one thing he can give his people, is patience to wait. At the right time, in the right circumstance, he will help us. Well, when life disappoints and we are spiritually depressed, when you can't say, I will declare what he's done for my soul, like in Psalm 66:16, well, I ain't got nothing to say. I will declare what he has done for my soul. I'm still waiting. That's when he's your portion. I'm still waiting. He's going to reply to me. He's going to help me. This is all going to clear up because that's what God does. I'd like to talk about, when wrapping up here, I'd like to look at one more area in which our Father is a giving Father. And this is one that so many of us face, and that is anxiety. I'd like to read Luke chapter 12. The cure for anxiety. And I would just like to, in today's world, anxiety is, it's like a thick feeling in the air that even when we're deep in the Word and in prayer, anxiety is something that presses on our flesh and our minds. And I just like to read what Jesus said about anxiety. And one of his gifts is the cure for anxiety. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, or about the body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They don't have a storeroom or a barn, yet God feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than the birds? Can any of you add a cubit to his height by worrying? Can't. If then you are not able to do even a little thing, why worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his splendor was not adorned like one of these wildflowers. If that's how God clothes the grass, which is in the field today and is thrown into the furnace tomorrow, how much more will he do for you, you of little faith? Don't keep striving for what you should eat and what you should drink. Don't be anxious. For the Gentile world eagerly seeks all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be provided for you. Don't be afraid, little flock, because your Father delights to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Make many things for yourselves that don't grow old, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. When you feel anxiety coming, turn to God. Turn to your Father who loves you, who's giving, who lends an ear and a helping hand. Get alone with him. Or get with some brothers and sisters in the Lord and just share, because that's another gift that God gives. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, whose hearts are tied together. That's a gift as well that he gives us. So we're not alone in the battle. We have our Heavenly Father who loves us, who's adopted us, listening ear, lending hand, and he also injects that in spirit into his people so that we do that for each other. I know I talk a lot about personal worship, getting with God, going to him. Do that first. Do that first. And then let him direct you to brothers and sisters who can also pick you up and pray for you and lift you up and bless you and tell you the things good and bad about yourself, just like God does. Because God just sometimes just flows to our brothers and sisters, telling us things that we need to know. Worship team, you can come up. And one thing I want to say this morning, I want you all to feel satisfied with your relationship with your Heavenly Father. If you're not, it's okay to come up front and pray. Talk to your Heavenly Father. I want you to feel satisfied. My heart just longs to see all of you just advancing in your believing life, being used mightily for his kingdom, loving people, caring for them just like our Heavenly Father cares for us. I invite you to stand for a closing prayer, and then the worship team will lead us. And I'd just like to, as one of the spiritual leaders here, I'd just like to pray a blessing on this congregation. I want you to feel it. I want you to feel blessed, cared for, loved. And I want you to feel nourished. by the words of God, as he speaks to us through his word and through other people. I want you nourished. Father God, I come to you this morning. I know you're a giving God. And God, so often we are slow to speech and quick to anger. And I just pray that you'll give everyone here just a spirit of relaxation, that anxiety will be taken away, and that the spirit of anger that so often comes over our minds and impacts our hearts, that spirit will be taken away as well. Because what do we have to be angry about? You died for us in the form of your Son, Jesus. You forgave us of all of our sins, not just some of them, all of them. And you gave us a completely new slate. And you do that however many times it takes when we fail and we come back to you. God, forgive me again. God, help this congregation feel forgiven when they've come to you, not feeling anxiety of, did God really forgive me? Because you are a giving and forgiving God. And I just pray that you'll cover this congregation with your love, with your forgiveness, with your power, that you'll just cover them for whatever they need individually, that your spirit will minister to them at this very moment. And I pray this in the name of Jesus, through whose sacrifice our adoption is made totally possible. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.